take that as a starting place and propose that we find a date that 10 board members would be sufficient, because we're just going to have to say somebody can't show up. And I'd like to start as soon as possible and find that date. So next weekend is out. The following weekend would be I'm looking at some crazy calendar. Wrong.
Excuse me, that's my calendar. That's
that's what she meant, Leslie.
Where?
And the crazy calendars are being discussed on WBAI in New York, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, and KFCF in Fresno. The Interim Pacifica National Board meeting continues with the discussion of crazy calendars.
It would be October 5th and 6th. And the next weekend after that would be the 12th and the 13th.
Now,
so could we
look at that, because that's a Columbus Day. So
right. So what I want to do is look, start with the 5th and the 6th, go to the next meeting week. If we can't get 10 for that, go to the next weekend and see if we can get 10 for that. Columbus Day, maybe people don't want to do it. Maybe they do. Maybe it would be and then we would just go the next one.
Let me just say, I don't know what to do about this, but on the October 6th, the Not In Our Name coalition grouping is doing what they hope will be a major demonstration in New York that I've been asked to speak at. And I would actually like to do that. Obviously, if this board feels that that's the only or the best weekend to do it, I will, not do it. But if I could have that weekend to be in New York to speak at that rally, I would very much like to do that.
I think that's important. I also, we have the issue of the next weekend is Columbus Day. Does that affect people's planning? If it does, we need to know that too.
I could care less about Columbus. I think we should meet on that's a three-day weekend.
He's not popular in the Bay Area, I'll tell you that.
Let's exploit that racist holiday to get some work done.
Let's just see again. Does anybody who's in the room right now on the board have a problem? We wouldn't. I think we would still plan a two-day meeting though.
Are you Saturday and Sunday, the 12th and the 13th.
Right. So that since Monday is a holiday, you would still have the holiday. Does that work for people? Saturday and Sunday, October 12th and 13th. Does anybody in the room right now have a problem with that? Okay, so then.
I'm on a panel on the 12th in New York.
All right, so one person cannot do it.
How about the 13th and the 14th, since the 14th is a holiday?
Right, how is the 13th and 14th, Sunday and Monday?
In New York City?
No. What we said while you were out of the room was that we would do this, that we wouldn't determine the place now, that we have to do a little investigation at where the cheapest place to do it, in terms of airfares and housing people, to do it at the cheapest location possible. So, and not worry about that right now.
Might I remind y'all, I believe this has been our least expensive National Board meeting.
To date, yes.
Thank you very much for your frugality.
Right. Okay, so all we're looking at right now is the date, the 13th and 14th. Ray, I don't know where your panel is on the 12th. Is in New York? Where is it? So getting to, if we were in New York or Washington, those would be both easy for you.
13th and 14th?
Right.
Is that a problem for anybody?
Okay, so why don't we go for the 13th and 14th?
LA will offer free housing.
Thank you.
Okay.
We appreciate that. We'll take that in.
We'll have to look into all this. And again, this would be a special meeting of the board. It would be an open meeting, like all these meetings are. Anybody, would be invited to come, and we will get word out, and we will set up the webcast and, everything, and talk to the stations about broadcasting, et cetera. So that's done. Let me say one other quick thing I need to inject here. Yesterday I was asked, when we talked about the death penalty editorial, there were several comments that people wanted integrated in, and the suggestion was that I try and do that language changes, those additions, before the end of this weekend to reread it. Guess what, folks? I didn't have time to do that. No, I didn't. So instead, what I'd like to do is say that within the next 2 or 3 days, I will do that, email that to people on the board or fax it to people who don't have email and ask for people to give me and, you know, give us any comments or feedback, let's say within a day or two. We'll put a timeline on it. So let's say by the end of this week, it's done. Okay, is that all right with folks instead of trying to rush through the writing now? Okay, fine. Now, what we would like to do, what we are scheduled to do, is move on to the station. I'm sorry, someone's standing here. Can you just identify yourself?
Yes, my name's Robin Lewis. I'm with KPFT Lab. And I'm just asking that in this bylaws meeting, are you going to invite people on the various bylaws subcommittees to...
Yes, yeah. Well, I think it would be very helpful, as it was yesterday, and, you know, Friday and yesterday, when we were talking about it, to have people who helped, you know, draw up the various proposals be there. Obviously, we can't mandate that, you know, because we're not going to, I think it's probably safe to say we don't have the money to bring you to that meeting. But as to the degree that each city can send some people, you know, who were involved in that, those bylaws discussions, it would be helpful, as I think everybody felt in the discussions we've had so far. It's been very helpful to get a better understanding or a clarification, or if we missed something from the city's proposal, you know, so yes. Okay. All right, so station reports is where we are. Now, as I said the other day, and it's even more so now, we have got to, and I'm sorry to do this, but it's just the reality, we've got to do some very dramatic surgery on this portion of the agenda. And what we'll do is we'll go through each of the five stations. We really do not want the station managers or the lab chairs to read the written reports that you've already given us. We've got those, and I really hope the people on the board have read those or will read those. But to add anything, or if there's some section of that you want to call our attention to, so we don't skip it lightly or whatever, and so we can do this as briefly as possible. We also would like to make sure that there is some opportunity for people, for listeners from each of those cities, if there's something else that they want to add at that time, to do that as well. But again, we ask everybody to be mindful of the time limitations that we have. So what I'd like to do is get right into it. The first one is KPFT, which is where we are here in Houston, Texas. So we're going to call on Dwayne Bradley, the general manager, and then Deb Shafto, the lab chair. So you can either stand or sit, whatever you feel most comfortable with.
I'll sit.
Hello.
Okay, I am real happy to be up here addressing the national board and the listeners of all the five family stations of Pacifica and any other KU listeners out there. And the last time we all met together, most of us weren't allowed to participate. We were at the DoubleTree over on the west side of Houston in March of 2001, and I think we all remember that was the memorable moment in its own right, and it's wonderful that we're all here today and that we can all sit together and that we've done all the amazing work that we've done, though we have much more to do. And in my manager's report, which itself was brief, I do, with the understanding that I submitted this about a month ago, want to just mention a few bullet point items, and I'm going to really rein myself in because I can tell stories, and everyone in Houston knows that. A five-minute report can become an 18-minute.
Yeah, your five minutes are up.
Thank you. We will begin our fund drive wanting to really jump the new fiscal year. We're going to jump it and start it on the second day of the fiscal year. So a week from next Wednesday, we start our drive. We'll run through the 15th of October. Our goal is $300,000, and we have a goal also of 1,500 new members. So we're measuring it in not just dollars but also membership, because that's what we're trying to do is increase the membership of the listenership here in Houston. As far as the staff at KPFT, the number of staff is still a dozen, as it says in this report, but since this report was written after a very long and somewhat drawn-out process and so forth, we have this past Wednesday night at our local advisory board meeting made the announcement that there is a no longer interim program director at KPFT and that Otis McClay was selected to be the full-time salaried staff program director at KPFT. Looking at the actual unpaid staff issues at KPFT, we've been growing at leaps and bounds since we made the change in February of this year. The volunteer staff has grown from 60 to where, as of this, well, this weekend, we did a count, and we have 128 volunteer program producers just on the air. That's just on air. So the evolutionary process of moving KPFT further down the road of becoming a truly mission-based radio station is an ongoing, I thought it was a four-step process. It's maybe 5, 7, 12 steps. I don't know, but we're about 2.5 steps through this process, and it's a very exciting time in Houston and as well in Pacifica. Another exciting thing that's happened since this report, which I do encourage you to read because it is only one page, is that KPFT's news department, this budding news department, we have two young, enthusiastic staff members who have been contracted by KPFT. They have gone out into the community. We're working with the University of Houston Journalism and Communication Schools to use journalism and communication students as interns in the news department at KPFT. And in just a brief example of how even just a budding, only at this point 30-minute, once-a-week local newscast can make a difference, Jackson Allers from KPFT's news team did a report this past week about a Palestinian family that was being evicted and was being deported to Jordan. That story was picked up by Democracy Now!. That story was picked up by the Houston Chronicle. Sheila Jackson Lee, our Congress member here in Houston, had an intercept on this, and now that's been stayed. So just this one little news department, this baby of a news department, has made a difference in the national discussion, and I think that's remarkable. Further, we have been utilizing the new technologies as we did this entire weekend with a brand new stream available through kpft.org. We've, with immense help from Otis McClay, who's we now have a second stream at kpftx.org, and that's where people are going to be able to hear experimental radio that's not appropriate perhaps for broadcast on KPFT, or entire meetings such as this entire weekend, or local advisory board meetings and other things, as well as prove to be a training ground for new broadcasters. And we're very excited about that development and that utilization of new technology at KPFT. We still have a lot of work to do, but we are moving forward. We still have issues of factionalism in Houston, and we have addressed those after a fashion by putting forth a code of conduct that is available for anyone to read, and it's something we hope to hold our visitors as well as our staff, both unpaid and paid, to. But in relation to that, we have, because of the continuing controversy that goes back through the summer all the way to, I believe, April 17th of this year in Houston, we're looking at the possibility of bringing in possibly an outside fact finder to just listen to everyone, to take all of the discussion and put it on paper without saying you're right, you're wrong, but just putting all the facts on the table and letting everybody feel that they've been heard so that we can move on together. And in my closing, I would like to just pull a quote out of last week, something I read in the New York Times. George Bush had said, and I think I don't typically quote Shrub, but I...
Can you leave the shades open, please?
But I will in this case, just as a closing comment, and this is something I read this, and he was speaking in regards to Al-Qaeda and Iraq and Afghanistan and bin Laden. But I use this in relationship to how I feel about Pacifica and about KPFT and about the developments here in Houston and nationally within the family of radio that we are. And it's simply this, and this is a quote, and I'm taking it completely out of context and expropriating it and making it ours. We are relentless, we are strong, and we shall prevail.
Yeah.
Don't leave, Dwayne. Dwayne, don't leave. I have a question. I really want to thank you for the code of conduct. I'm taking it back to New York, and also really thank. Yeah, right. And we're really grateful about the newsroom because it just didn't make sense for there not to be news here. But I have to ask you: did you air this here? And if not, why?
We did not broadcast this. We are not broadcasting this right now. It's available through our website, through kpftx.org. And briefly, the rationale that the staff consensed around to not broadcast the meeting this weekend was that the disruption in the harmonious attitude of Houston at this crucial point in time, approaching this new fiscal year, 10 days out from starting a major, extremely important fund drive that will impact the future of KPFT's ability to move forward, as well as impact in our own little way, the national movement, did not warrant that at this point in time.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Dwayne. I let Dwayne go a little longer because we are in Houston, but hopefully the other folks will be a little shorter. Ted, chapter.
All on one piece of paper.
Okay, one long piece of paper.
Identify yourself.
My name is Deb Shafter. I'm the chair of the lab in Houston. I wanted to talk a little bit about the way we reach decisions and how important that has been to our community building and to our community unity. In a prior incarnation, Ted and Slasher and myself and a few others had tried to write bylaws for a committee that we hoped would one day take over the station. And even though that dissolved, a lot of good thinking went into it, and we decided that the concentration of power into decision-making bodies or into a few hands was not a good idea, that we needed to protect ourselves from takeover by involving the largest number of people we could. And that's what we did when we took over the station, but it has proved to be community building as well, because people who formerly were simply music listeners and perhaps were greatly socially conscious, or maybe not, I don't know, but weren't involved in the movement, got involved when it came down to thinking about Pacifica clearly and formulating these new bylaws. Our committees were open to everybody who wanted to be there, and even though a lot of people said, oh, that's a terrible mistake, it worked very well. It was very hard work, but these people learned to get along with people who have very different opinions, and a consensus was reached, and a manner was found to not stifle debate, but to put all views on the table. Now, the result was kind of confusing, but it certainly represents the feeling of the community at large. I want to recommend this process to other areas where it hasn't been done, where the committees are closed or by appointment or vote only, as being a real outreach effort and bringing in people who have then the opportunity to put their thoughts forward, and every thought was valued. One of the other things I wanted to say on the same line is, because of the danger of concentrating the power of decision in too few hands, our area feels strongly that there should be a program committee of some sort, and we have never worked out the balance of who decides what on what issues, but it needs to be a cooperative effort, and it needs to have some kind of rules where everybody can be heard, and no one person has the final decision. The other item that I wanted to bring up is, I think, because because racism and prejudices of all sort, isms of all sort, are invisible and equally painful, well, perhaps not equally, but also painful to those who are unawarely immersed in them, to the propagators of the system. It is invisible to them, and because of that, we need outside help. And what I'm asking the National Board to do is to appoint a National Director of Diversity who can help us look at our stations. As what happens in the station when someone sees what they perceive as racism, there's an immediate countercry of race baiting, and the fight's on, and the issues have left the table. It's simply name-calling from that point on. And we need to move beyond that. When you look into a station and you see primarily monochrome faces, it's time for a change. And those changes have to be really profound, and they can't be, they need to be legislated in a way, but in the end, what we really want is to have it a spontaneous, visceral kind of change where everybody is really glad for diversity and the different points of view represented. I'm going to appoint a diversity committee, and I hope that we have backing from the board to have that diversity committee make recommendations to the manager, who will then either implement them or have to give an explanation why they were not implemented. And that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We do want to take a few minutes of community comment from folks in the KPFT listening area. So, again, just come up to Mike and introduce yourself.
Thank you. My name is Akua Holt, and welcome, National Board. It's been since 1996 that the African-American community, we've had an active participation with Pacifica Radio. I'm very happy to see you here today. However, I am very deeply concerned that our community was not necessarily informed about this meeting, and the location of this meeting is so far removed from community. There were people who wanted to participate that could not access the agenda on the internet and these kinds of things. So I think the idea of having someone present to deal with diversity is a critical issue, because each station there's different issues that are going on. But what I want to talk about today is community radio and what it means to me. When I got involved in Pacifica, I really believed in the process of free speech for everyone. However, working here in KPFT, I realized that that wasn't necessarily the mission of everyone. So what we've done is we've started a coalition to help direct the station in its process of involving community. And we've been meeting since April with the help of our local board chair, as well as our current manager and program director. We've come up with some ideas that our community would like to see on the radio. However, from all those meetings, some of the ideas that we've come up with, we have not seen them implemented at all. And what I'm trying to say here is that our community, we have a voice, and our voice deserves to be heard. And we're trying to figure out how is it that we can get the critical issues that affect our community on the radio. Number one, the prison issue in Texas is very prevalent. Everyone knows that Texas is number one with the death penalty, number one with black men being shipped to Houston. They come from Harris County. Why aren't those issues being discussed here locally? There are other issues, HIV in the prisons. We have so many critical issues that are affecting our community, and they're not; those voices are not being heard. So my concern is that we have some process of dealing with inclusion in our programming, and I think when it comes, when December comes around, our community probably will not be as active in the voting process because we don't have the programming to reflect, to help put people on the board that can voice the things that we need to serve our community. So thank you, and I hope that you take some of these issues and look at them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Thank
you. My name is Chris Sampson. I'm a volunteer programmer at KPFT. First off, I have to say that the environment around the station has dramatically changed, and I thank this man and Otis and many volunteers who've really guided each other and given us good leadership, which is kind of something we were missing around there for a while. As far as the process that we've been going through, I've been attending some of the governance committee meetings, And when I hear wrap up now where we stand with these decisions, they don't seem to me to meet a lot of the things that got discussed and basically the arguments that constantly were taking place in the meetings. I don't understand when I hear we have agreed to this or we have agreed to that or this is our view. I don't see how those words can so easily be thrown out when I hear so much, still so much solid bickering from very, very distinct points of view. And they don't reflect our community yet. When our outreach community has missed many different areas of our community that I've asked them, you know, come up and come and be a part of KPFT, and they don't want to. And we still haven't reached out to some of those people. We have a whole lot more work to do. I think we've done some good work. I'm not trying to say we haven't, but to treat it as if we're there or we understand or we know what the Pacifica mission is and all these things, it seems extremely disingenuous, and there's a lot more to do.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon, National Board. I'm Robert Muhammad. I'm also a volunteer programmer. The name of our show is Connect the Dots. It comes on every Wednesday at 12 noon. And I want to try to connect some dots here today. A wise man once said, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to us that the good takes care of itself, but we got to correct the wrong. Mm-hmm. And he gave a good report on the good things that are happening, but there are a lot of things that are going on that are not good. I served as the spiritual advisor to Shaka Sankofa, Gary Graham. I was the last man that he spoke to before he was put to death. I served as a spiritual advisor to Odell Barnes, who was put to death the same year, another innocent man whom the people of France put up $50,000 to find an investigator, lawyers, and everything so that he may be freed. I want to welcome you to the death penalty capital of the industrialized world. And what I want to say to all simply is this, is that we have to reflect the diversity of the city, otherwise this is all a sham. And I'm simply saying that we have won the war. It's like we have come out of the jungle, won the revolution, now we're ruling, and we're about to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. I'm going to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And we have to be serious and stop this kind of incrementalism, and there's going to have to be some pain because I cut my teeth on KPFT. When I first became a minister 15 years ago, it was on KPFT that prepared me to be on Nightline and CNN and to take on Chris Matthews and not bow down or buck dance for any of them and to speak with strength about the issues that the progressive people have. And I close with this point. That if we keep playing around, bickering on the national board, bickering on the local level, KPFT is the only voice that the progressive movement has. If we don't pull ourselves together, this world is going up in flames. And to whom much is given, much is to be required. And this board and my local station, we're in the energy capital of the United States, and this war is over oil. Then what are we doing? We need to pull this thing up, get some programming that reflects the needs of the people, and we need to be the voice for the voiceless and help for the helpless, and let's get busy with the work. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
My name is Michael Pimentel. I'm from the KPFT Local Advisory Board. I want to welcome everybody here. I was also a member of the ad hoc committee putting this together. I want to thank the board for coming here and giving us the opportunity to have such a civil and, I mean, relatively productive meeting in certain ways. I have a concern with respect to KPFT and the foundation. There's been references to the discontent going on at KPFT, and my concern is the expense of listener funds on a mediation for a conflict between two people who are no longer even associated with Pacifica. Right now we have two college professors essentially having an interscene warfare, a battle inside of KPFT through proxies. And I think, there is no need to spend any more listeners' money, which Dwayne just announced at the local board meeting that he was planning on spending up to a great deal of money, several hundred if not more. 900 a day apparently is the deal. Nevertheless, I think this is an inappropriate use of listeners' funds. I don't think there is any resolution to a conflict which was based or began with the direct threat against the local advisory board. This is democracy through intimidation, and it's not acceptable.
Okay, thank you. Folks, I don't want to get into... We have a little bit of a dilemma. It's 12:30. If we could just hear your comment. Ken, are you going to speak to what Michael just talked about? Can we not get into that? Can we hear from her and then wrap it up?
Right. My name is Anil Williams, and I'm a volunteer programmer at KPFT, and I'd like to voice some of my concerns. I come from being a listener at KPFT many years ago, and when all of the fiascos and histories and all that that everyone is very much aware of happened, I no longer became a listener. I stopped listening. With the changes this year, I have begun listening to KPFT again, and I have gotten involved this year. What I find, though, is that there is still so much resistance to change within even the current KPFT organization. There is some change, but still there's still resistance. And what I like about KPFT is the opportunity for progressive radio, for voices that have not been heard, for change. And in the current world dynamic, I think it's essential that we have this type of opportunity. I don't think that that should be jeopardized, but at the same time, I too believe that the African-American voice needs to be heard. And I think there needs to be an opportunity for representation, not only on the radio, but in the labs. I have concerns about if we have an election for the labs very soon, that we will not have representation from that community because we've not gotten sufficient programming on the air at prime times. Many of the programs that have been on the air have been on at 3 o'clock in the morning, and there are music shows. We're just now beginning to move a little bit in that area. And I also think that we need to seriously think about what is a model that can ensure some representation, given that in order to vote in the election, you have to pay money, which we don't require even in our country, that you have to pay something in order to vote. You can listen to the station, but unless you give money, you can't make a contribution. And I think we need to consider that. So also, one of the other concerns I have that was mentioned on yesterday in the this particular line that says, delegates who do not receive at least one half of the number of votes of the last person who could have been elected, da-da-da-da-da. What that is an exclusionary clause, which what happens if a person doesn't get one half of the votes of the highest person? What does that mean? So I think that needs to be reconsidered if that's the model that you choose. I also think that it's a good idea to have some fundraising and some development at the national level. I think because there are so few progressive voices that are concentrated in this country, I think it's good to look at how can you look at printing? How can you become a press? Some other types of things that can generate more revenue other than depending on memberships, etc. Because if that dries up, if we have an economic downturn, that's going to affect the programming.
Okay. Thank you. Ken, I didn't mean to suggest you couldn't speak. I just didn't want to get into a back and
sure,
forth.
Sure, and I'll keep my program comments very brief. Ken Freeland from the KPFT listening area. I just want to correct a misperception that was stated earlier that this the event around which a fact-finding is going to take place here in Houston was an internecine warfare between two professors. That's not true. Actually, it was a long-term programmer who's made a tremendous contribution to KPFT, who represents much of what KPFT stands for, against an allegation by somebody who has only been at KPFT one time. And that's the purpose of the fact-finding. Teresa Allen today reminded us... I'm just going to say that Teresa Allen today demonstrated the importance of using conflict resolution techniques to resolve difficult situations, and that is the point of a fact-finding effort, and that's what I think we should be supporting as a Pacifica Foundation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, folks, I want to thank everybody, the manager and the lab chair and all the other people who spoke. Thank you very, very much. It was very important to hear from folks here. I did let this go on longer because we are in Houston, and this is the station in Houston. Thanks. But I'm going to have to be a lot tighter stricter it's not my usual way of being, but on the time question. And I just, it would make my job a lot easier if you all can do a little more self-restraint. If we can go to PFW, Tony, and then we'll hear from Sam.
Thank you, Leslie. This is Tony Regusters. I'm the interim general manager of WPFW. I'd like to extend greetings to the members of the board, Pacifica audiences, and especially WPFW's loyal listeners in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Before I proceed with this abbreviated GM report, I'd like to share some words a Washington businessman shared with me, which I thought were complimentary, but I'm sure he didn't mean it to seem so. When introduced to him, he said, "Oh, you're with that rebel jazz station picking on the president." I thought that'd be a great bumper sticker. We might put that up for our next premium in our next drive. WPFW's technical and technical infrastructure-related problems still exist, but my major concerns, such as the nitrogen leak at the transmitter site, has at least been stabilized. However, over the last 5 months, WPFW's transmitter has been hit 5 times. Either by acts of God or by acts of men playing God. During Pacifica's historic September 11th Patriots for Peace programming, for example, 20 minutes before WPFW's contribution to the national program schedule was to begin, we were knocked off the air. A tree branch allegedly fell across the power line. After 5 hits, WPFW listeners and I agree that just because we're paranoid doesn't mean nobody's after us.
Right.
I'd like to recommend that the National Board and National Office consider working with WPFW to first purchase a backup generator, which is badly needed for the station, and also involve our lab in that process. And because of the vulnerability of the transmitter antenna site, which, by the way, we share with the U.S. Secret Service folks, that we move our transmitter to a new site, possibly by 2004, begin the process in 2003 and move it in 2004. Regarding news development at WPFW, we have an ad hoc committee of progressive information and news pros in the area, including our lab chair, Sam Husseini, WPFW program director, Ron Pinchback, Josh Chaffin of Free Speech Radio News, Eddie Becker of the D.C. Independent Media Center, all working with me to plan and continue strategizing the station's local news presence, which has, over the last 2 months, gotten quite a bit stronger. We've introduced a program which is making considerable impact in the area. Just as an evening news brief, progressive news brief, runs about 10 minutes called The Messenger. And that's the name that WPFW is known by in the Washington area, so we're making some waves with that. One plan that we're developing is the creation and introduction of a web-based radio station, WPFX, that would serve as a new media platform and training ground and incubator for young people, nonprofits, grassroots groups, to supplement and extend WPFW regular programming. It involves creation of a special website that would supplement the website that we just introduced, which we are now audio streaming on WPFW, and program menued in a playlist that web browsers could punch up at will any time of day. We also support a proposal put forth by WBIX for the network to support their work. WBIX has been very supportive of WPFW, particularly with regard to our very first town hall meeting, which followed the April 20th programming. Regarding station finances, and I'm just about to wrap this up, we've dug the station out of a burial mound of debt. Most of this debt was related to unpaid service providers to the station, interest on unpaid invoices going back about a year, and the high cost of premium items for vendor providers upon which the station relies heavily. We are presently involved with re-strategizing our approach to fundraising and the vendors. In the interest of time, I'm going to wrap this up so that our colleague, Mr. Husseini, can make his report.
Thank you. Actually, before Sam, yeah, do you have a question?
Yeah, Tony, just one quick question about the transmitter. Have you had any help from the Pacifica consulting engineer, Don Mussel? We have a report from him about various areas. He said that he had not been contacted about PFW.
I have not talked with him personally, and I do want to talk with him. I understand that Brian Gibbons of the National Office in Washington has had some consultation with him, and I understand now that he's ill at the moment, so I don't know what that means in terms of me communicating with him at the moment. But we have, Brian and I, working with Ron Pinchback, have made some advances in terms of our desire to have the transmitter backed up first by a generator, and also we've looked at two possible sites that we were going to need Mr. Mussel to come in and give us his imprimatur for.
Okay.
We do really need to move our transmitter. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Okay, if there aren't any other questions, I'll turn to him.
I would like to say that I think the bumper sticker idea is great.
Sam?
Yeah, I'll also try to keep it brief. And again, I hope that people will take a look at the full report, as well as I'll try to make copies of it for anybody else who's here. Just sort of taking the snippets from the top and the end, WPFW continues to make improvements in many ways, but major issues need to be addressed to make it live up to the Pacifica mission statement. As Tony alluded to, a local news program that he personally is working on, five to 10-minute newscast at the segment of each weekday is beginning, that goes beyond the AP wires that the station has been relying on in the morning and in the brief headline news in the afternoon. The station has announced trainings and so on with the IMC, the Independent Media Center, but unfortunately some of the people who participated in those things haven't been brought in, and I look forward to that happening as early as possible so that people who have been trained can be going and can and that trainings can continue. And I encourage the Pacifica family to infuse energy and resources and talent throughout the network to strengthen Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is literally in the belly of the beast, Washington, D.C., and the people who are in Washington, D.C. are particularly oppressed in very unique ways and up against severe obstacles. So just speaking to the board and to the Pacifica family generally, resources are needed. I think that places where the progressive movement is strong need to strengthen Washington, D.C. The lab would like to see not simply a news director, reporter, someone to train people on a regular basis, but also an outreach person to strengthen the communities of Washington, D.C. We view that as a priority, as well as news and outreach. There do continue to be tensions between the lab and management and so on, which we hope to be addressing through continued communication and dialogue through the program council, which is beginning to formulate in a serious fashion. We'd like to see the station retain, obviously, jazz is its signature music, but to move beyond that, to integrate the community engagement as well as music and public affairs in unique ways through music and poetry and so on. Definitely needs to be, this goes back to our discussions about the move to Berkeley and so on, a serious news presence is crucial in Washington, D.C. I don't know the nuances of the settlement agreement and so on, but I think that that should happen and that an open search for a news director should happen as quickly as possible, regardless of what was in the settlement agreement. That's crucial if we are to fulfill the mission of Pacifica and are serious about the ideals that we profess. I think we, frankly, do have to move beyond rhetoric and salesmanship and so on to really do the hard business of what needs to be doing. There is one free speech radio news reporter in Washington, D.C. He's been brought into the process. I hope that there will be others coming to do the reporting and get into the news conferences in Washington, D.C., and to strengthen the tie into the communities of the people in Washington, D.C., that can be used as a bulwark to do that. I view that as a crucial matter for this foundation. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. It occurs to me, and I don't
Sam
want to get into
Husseini
a big debate about this, but I don't want to lose the idea either. We can talk about it another time. That the board maybe should consider another editorial, and that is in support of D.C. statehood.
And I would be very interested in getting feedback from folks in Washington about that. That might be one way also to signal nationally our support for our sisters and brothers in Washington. Are there people from Washington, from the listening area, who want to make comments? You know, any of the listeners or producers, anybody from Washington? Okay, if not, George, yeah.
Yes. We had a discussion before the vote to move
George
to Berkeley.
Marston.
Well, my most recent vote, it seems imperative to me if we're a national network and we have to have a Washington News Bureau news desk, and I want that commitment. I want to move that we have a national news bureau, or what? You know, I'm not sure what the language to use, but is, you know, if we're going to be a nationwide network, we need that, and we are.
Okay, do you want to do that now? I'd rather, if we could, continue the station reports and then come back to any motions. Okay? Is that all right? Let's get the station reports. Is this from Washington listening area?
Yeah. I've organized in Washington, and I'm...
I know, briefly, very, very, very...
Yeah,
briefly.
I've organized in Washington extensively, and I'm also in touch a lot with the progressive community in Washington and the diverse communities. Listenership that has been fired. And I want to put that forth to the issue to reinforce the need of serious outreach, both from the grassroots, from internet, from reaching with people who helped us reclaim Pacifica, people who are organizing against the war, but also in a place like Washington where every other station more traditionally has an advertising board. Tony Regaster has pushed that forth, and you might jump thinking that's too commercial, but that's who they're fighting against to attract attention. And at the time where we are talking about all these elections and all this empowerment of the listeners and whatever, in a place, but it applies to the whole network, where we fired our listeners, it's quite problematic. So I want to bring that forth to the attention of the board, that really the survival of our network will depend on a serious outreach, a resource-funded outreach on all different levels, so that indeed we can have, again, the listenership that will vote to and protect Pacifica and apply to D.C. more than other places.
Thank you, Reem.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move along. Traveling up the Eastern Seaboard, WBAI.
Good afternoon to the board and to the listeners out there. I want to thank again Houston, everybody here, for making this a memorable meeting. I do remember March of 2001 when there was an affirmation of Pacifica by turning our backs on the mm-hmm. former board. This time we are embracing this board because they have been supportive of the initiatives that we've tried to take at all our stations. I started the report, and I'm going to really try to telescope here. With the expression that came out of the determined fight against apartheid that we used here in the United States, and there has never been a time like this. There really hasn't in the history of WBAI or this organization. Over the past 8 months, we have raised over $2.8 million. That is the highest amount ever raised in WBAI's entire 42-year history. We have brought back over 6,000 new listeners. That's 50% more and over the ashes of last year. We could not have done any of this without the outstanding, extraordinary support of our staff, the leadership from the national office, and the support that we've gotten from this national board, and finally, of course, the listeners and the members who are with us every step of the way. Because we're doing highlights here, and you have the report in writing, I just want to kind of... telescope on some other issues. We completed the NTIA grant programming, as you know. We have done some programming changes. They're now in the process of being reviewed and revised and to see where we are and how things are settling in. On staffing issues, WBAI, we've always been proud because of the commitment we made to affirmative action and real diversity. About the kind of staffing that we have, the quality of it, and it is its very diverse nature. 67.7% of our staff are minorities. That's the highest of any Pacifica station. Those minorities come from the African American, the Latin American, and the Asian Pacific community. 32.2% of our staff is female, and 67% male. We would like to balance that out further by more female staff, but once again, the diversity is there in terms of male, female, and the diversity is certainly there in terms of people of color. To this board, and I'm going to address you directly, we at WBAI value our autonomy and independence more than anything else, and we feel we have gotten tremendous support from the national office, the executive director, and this board, because you've made a commitment to that. This is a time of absolute continuing turbulence. We are still going through this transition. We still have $1.5 million in debt. So there is an even greater mandate for us to work together. We gladly accept that responsibility. We responded to the call when the national office needed help. They've responded in kind when we needed assistance. We hope that the national board will help raise more money, bring in more resources, not just for our work in New York. We are a family together for every station as part of our network, and we are ready to assist those efforts in any way we can. Very importantly, I believe, and I hope I share this with many of our listeners and you as board members, the national board must continue to provide, really, really provide, wise leadership. The wisdom that comes out of struggle, the wisdom that comes out of really fighting the good fight and winning. Deep wisdom about the issues that face us all, and an informed understanding of them, because we have to grapple with them every day, 24 hours out of seven. We hope that you will continue to provide a dynamic presence that will unite us even more. You were very close today on this actual move. When the vote went around, and even before the vote, most people were in favor of it. You finally pulled together, and you made it so. May the force be with you. We need to continue to do that in the future. We hope that the dynamic presence again will help us get through these uncharted waters, and we urge you to follow the mission like a North Star and see this ship safely home. Finally, my commitment and our commitment at WBAI is to help rebuild that station day by day, to continue the income growth despite an uncertain economy, despite the threat of war that is in front of us, and to collaborate with our sister stations to do these national days for the archives and for other specific needs, so that we continue to rebuild and reclaim the original vision of Pacifica, and that is the one of independent journalism. That is the one of the Pacifica mission itself. As I said earlier, that mission is both a tool and a weapon. It is both a pen and a sword. I'm saying it again at this meeting because I want people to remember it. It is a journalistic vision and a political mandate to be a beacon of justice, a catalyst for change, a voice for peace in a world once again on the brink of war. We shall prevail, and as we've seen in this vote, you can go home again. Venceremos.
Miguel, the lab chair from WBAI.
Hi, I'm Miguel Maldonado from WBAI, chairperson. And I just wanted to, before I give a brief about the report, I just wanted to welcome the suggestion by Valerie about to call the national board to really to provide some leadership and specifically, you know, look the reality and trying to listen to all the voices and see how the best way that we can resolve the whatever problem we face in WBAI. And so I think that this, I welcome that, and I'm willing to participate in any dialogue in any way I can help with the limitation that I have in terms of my time working and so on. I just wanted to provide a brief of this report to the listeners and to the national board. I think that there was so many copies of this around. But basically, to say that we've been working in different committees as a lab. And one of the most important committees is the search committee to come out with a general manager, and also the bylaw committee. I think this is the most important component right now that is getting involved so many listeners and the dynamic. an internal search committee for the general manager. About 50 people sent resumes, 9 people were selected from that that group of people to be interviewed. Most of those people were from the 50 people, most of them were from New York. And so right now they are looking into the 3 finalists to be general manager and to make recommendation. And out of the 3 candidates, one withdraw for personal reasons. But there will be by next month there will be some kind of recommendation to the Washington National Office to choose one person to be the general manager. It's a process that's been taking a long time, but I think that it's wealthy if we can get a good general manager who can provide the wisdom and the leadership that we need. The lab, basically, and I have to explain this, the lab been playing a big role in that committee. And the dynamic of that committee was that all the groups that somehow or another are part of the WBAI family are being part of that committee, listeners, all of the groups that have some kind of structure and working with different people. We were able to bring from the listener area and bring the staff people to be part of that, and that includes the general manager, the public, the program director, who is also part of that committee. So it's just very nice dynamic. It's a good dynamic that all the voices are heard and people have the chance to ask questions. There was also a meeting with the staff. The 3 candidates was able to meet with the staff and people had a chance to ask questions. In terms of the bylaw, I should say in terms of the bylaw, so many meetings, this bylaw being basically dominated by the committee that was put in together, headed by Ray LaForest, Janice K. Bryan, and so many listeners and lab members, I've been part of that. I would say that I've been involved, deeply involved in the bylaw as really I want, and provide some of my experience in dealing with different nonprofit organizations. And I hope to improve that. I made the sacrifices that I need to bring the a draft together and approved by the our lab. So I will play a better role into that, because I've been a little bit, I had to work sometimes. What is it like? Slavery.
Miguel.
And just about to finish, the program council, the participation of the lab, there is one person who is part of the program council. That's Rashida, who just left. And she's one of the delegates from the lab to be there. We hope to improve that with more people. And we've been participating in the lab, which meet every 2 weeks. And also in terms of the folio, which is, we'll not be able to come out with the folio, but Rashida, who is also was in charge on the lab to coordinate that, come out with your idea and trying to see if that could be a reality. And including the vision that should be part of the budget and so on. The lab also had the first show, 30 minutes, on September 5th. It was like an introduction. It was not the show that we would like to do, a regular show. But, you know, we did it, and that was September 5th, and I think that was a good beginning. We hope to improve it and to send it for an hour and give all the participation that we can to the listeners to call and give us some ideas and some direction how to continue. This is more or less what it did. And then let me just say finally some of the motions that we passed. One of them was supporting the free speech radio news because of the difficulty they have, the economic difficulty they're confronting, and the last support and call their attention to the national board to see how they can continue working and provide a wonderful work that they're doing through the radio. We also passed a resolution in terms of the ethnicity work an ongoing basis that Val Letter have been working really hard, and we support the continuation of that work, and we pass a resolution on that sense. And so more or less, this is conclude the report that we brought here from the WBAI.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Miguel. Thank you. Can I please...
This is WBAI in New York, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFK in Los Angeles.